NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Fu Mengyuan.
And I'm Feng Guorui. Today is Monday, March 14th, the first week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news coming up next 30 minutes.
On March 9th, a meeting about the summer project of the University of California, Los Angeles was held in the number 30 building.
Today we'll do a general introduction of the summer and autumn international program. And then each teacher will introduce the part they take charge of in detail.
The fourth session of 12 Chinese People Political Consultative Conference National Committee opened on 3rd March at the Great Hall of the People in central Beijing.
I hope our government can formulate more specific policies according to the local situations of this country's different regions, policies that fit the local reality and the needs of the local people. Reclaiming cultivated land and turning back to forest and grassland will have two benefits. One is to help preserve the environment in Ningxia. The other is to help reduce poverty.
UN delays Syria peace talks by 2 days.
The final decision of whether it will be on Monday or slightly later will be taken in the next few days, depending on also what's happening on the ground, because we don't want a discussions in Geneva to become a discussion about infringements or not of the ceasefire. We want them to actually address the core of everything.
And comment on 2016 two sessions.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On March 9th, a meeting about summer project of University of California, Los Angeles was held in a number 30 building. Ms. Bo Ya Fu, a delegate from UCLA, gave a lecture. What information did Ms. Fu bring to the students? Our correspondent Xu Jingtian was there.
Thank you. This meeting was highly concerned by both undergraduates and graduates. It was separated into two parts. The first part was presided over by teacher from School of International Education.
Today, we'll do a general introduction of the summer and autumn international program. And then each teacher will introduce the part they take charge of in detail. All of you can ask the questions at last. In this year, we have two kinds of interchange program, totally 103 programs for 392 students. There are 13 interchange programs in Europe, 9 in America, 10 in Asia and Australia, 18 in Hong Kong and Taiwan. And we plan to launch 8 summer session programs this year. They all are short terms. And then let's talk about how to apply for the programs and what kind of student can apply. The exchange program is provided for sophomore, junior, senior, and a graduate who is in the second or the third year. But a senior can only apply for it in this semester. And all of the students in our school can apply for the summer session program. And absolutely, you need to prepare some materials. TOEFL, IELTS, these kinds of English certificates are the most important.
After the introduction of whole year's exchange program presented by teacher of CUC, Boya Fang, the delegate from UCLA, gave students a speech about UCLA's summer session program.
For the new people who just got here, I'm going to introduce you to me. I'm Boya, okay? Worked in UCLA for almost 7 years, 7 long years in international office, and then So basically what I do, I have several jobs where I just finished one of my huge project, which is on admission for fall students, you know. Project besides UCLA's summer session is the UCLA research program, which involves undergraduate college students and graduate students who can come to UCLA to do a long-term 3-month to 6-month research one-on-one with professors, okay? So that's something else. If that's something you're interested, ask me later, okay? So let's get back to summer session, all right? 2016. And then, how come that says 14? Let me make sure the PowerPoint. Why don't we start the PowerPoint? Yeah.
Boya showed a lot of information in her presentation. She told that this summer session is also the semester that UCLA students should take. And students from China can also choose from more than 700 major classes as done. And the program also includes extracurricular activities such as visiting the theme park, LA Museum, and to go camping as well. Boya listed fact sheet in detail. All the fees should be paid with shoulder. And TOEFL 79, IELTS 6.5 are the basic requirement of English.
You're not just a student who's sort of like visiting UCLA, looking at the architecture and then sitting in the back of the class. You're part of UCLA for that summer, okay? And then
UCLA summer session program really seems charming to many students. And our school also provides many other exchange programs to the students. All the information has been uploaded to CUC website, and it's easy to be found. That's what I've got here. Back to your studio.
Thank you, Jingtian. This kind of study abroad project provides students with a good opportunity to acquire knowledge overseas. More alike are expected.
As the new semester begins, the South Sports Ground is open, and many students are excited to have a place for exercise. What's more, some indoor PE classes can be taken on the spacious sports ground. Our correspondent Wang Jingyi was there.
Now I'm on the South Sports Ground. There are football nets, basketball courts, and volleyball courts. The note hanging on the wall says the opening time is from 9:40 a.m. to 3:20 p.m. Many students are having PE class or exercising. Let's ask them about their opinion. So what do you think about the newly built sports ground and its time limit?
Our sports ground is large and good looking. The lines drawn on the tracks are clear and white. Finally, we can use it after such a long time of repair. But the open time doesn't fit me, for we have classes in the afternoon. Students who have the habit of jogging every day, like me, have to go to Beijing International Studies University. So I hope that the open time could be prolonged so that we can take exercise in our school.
And there's a girl who has just had volleyball class. What do you feel about having classes there?
Well, I feel excited to step in the new sports ground. It's my first time to have PE class there. So it's of great happiness to play volleyball there with other students and doing different sports.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, Studio.
Thank you, Jingyi. The new sports ground really provides a better chance for students to have physical training and rouse their enthusiasm for exercise. So it's time to take part in sport activities and keep fit.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. The fourth session of the 12th Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference National Committee opened on 3rd March at the Great Hall of the People in central Beijing. The CPPCC services as a sounding board for lawmakers. The 3,300-strong CPPCC delegation put forward proposals that the National People's Congress will later debate.
I hope our government can formulate more specific policies according to the local situations of this country's different regions, policies that fit the local reality and the needs of the local people. Reclaiming cultivated land and turning back to forest and grassland will have two benefits. One is to help preserve the environment in Ningxia. The other is to help reduce poverty.
The CPPCC is made up of around 3,300 elite figures selected from various walks of life in China. Its annual meeting started ahead of the National People's Congress, which got underway on 5th March. The annual meeting of Chinese People Political Consultative Conference, along with National People's Congress, which is meeting on the country's lawmakers, are commonly known in China as Lianghui, or two sessions.
Municipal authorities in Beijing have come up with a new strategy to try to reduce PM2.5 density by 5% this year. In outlining the plan, Deputy Head of the Beijing Environmental Protection Bureau, Fang Li, says coal use has been identified as one of the areas they plan to focus on this year.
The eastern and western districts of Beijing are going to be closely monitored to ensure there is no selling, transporting, storing or burning of coal. This will include thorough inspection of coal vendors and major coal consumers.
Plans to reduce coal use in Beijing include replacing coal heating with electricity, as well as expanding the natural gas network in Beijing to the roughly 400 villages in the municipality this year. At the same time, some 200,000 high-emission vehicles are going to be pulled off the road. A continued focus on heavy polluting companies, particularly those located on the so-called rural-urban fringe of Beijing, will also be our target this year.
Okay, let's look at international news. A new round of planned peace talks for Syria are being delayed by 2 days. UN Syria envoy Stephen says they want to hold off on trying to restart the talk until they're sure the U.S. and Russian-backed ceasefire is holding well enough for the talks to move forward.
The final decision of whether it will be on Monday or slightly later will be taken in the next few days, depending on also what's happening on the ground, because we don't want a discussions in Geneva to become a discussion about infringements or not of the ceasefire. We want them to actually address the core of everything.
A previous round of peace talk planned for Geneva last month broke down before even getting off the ground. However, the UN is hoping that a ceasefire agreement put in place last weekend might be enough to get the various stakeholders in Syria back to the table this time. The United Nations has an 18-month plan to try to bring the 5-year conflict in Syria to an end.
The United Nations is warning of a growing humanitarian crisis in Greece. The spokesperson of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Adrian Edwards, has issued a call for immediate action.
Solving Europe's refugees and migrant situation and preventing a new crisis in Greece requires a number of clear actions. Among the most urgent of these, when it comes to Greece itself, is the need for better contingency planning with increased accommodation and other support.
The UN estimates upward of 3,000 refugees have been making their way into Greece every day. This has put additional strain on the country, which is already struggling with its own economic problems. UN officials are warning that Greece's inability to process the refugees quickly enough is leading to a shortage of food and shelter, potentially leading to unrest at border areas.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minutes. On March 5th, the 12th National People Congress, China's national legislature, opened its fourth session on Saturday morning at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. Premier Li Keqiang delivers a government work report at the opening meeting.
Chinese Minister of Education Yuan Guiren says China will commit 500 billion yuan in the next 5 years to improving the physical camp of rural schools. Yuan made the remarks on the sidelines of the ongoing session of China's top political advisory body in Beijing.
A Chinese Premier Li Keqiang has set this year's economic growth target at 6.5 to 7% with a promise to create 10 million new urban jobs, He told lawmakers at this annual meeting in Beijing that stable growth is needed to advance structural reform and to help guide market expectations.
Air pollution was reported in 180 of 338 Chinese cities at prefectural level or above on Friday, with 42 of them, including Beijing and Tianjin, categorized as heavily polluted, the Ministry of Environmental Protection announced on Saturday.
With the fourth episode having just been released on Thursday, TV series Descendant of the Sun continues to carry on a strong viewership in both China and South Korea. The drama broke the magical 20% level in South Korea, with the third episode drawing a rating of 23.4% and the fourth episode getting 24.1%, even outstripping the record set by 2013 SBS series My Love from the Star.
Researchers at University College London have predicted that a body immune cells might be able to help cure cancer. They have found that a patient's tumor could stake out antigens, which immune cells should be able to zero in on to eliminate the cancer cells. Let's go through some fresh sport news. Chinese teams remain dominant after the third day at this year's World Team Table Tennis Championships in Kuala Lumpur. World champion Zhang Jike and teammates Xu Xin and Fan Zhengdong all won their matches against the Czech opponents, securing their fourth round victory in the group stages of the championships. On women's side of things, it's Ding Ning, Zhu Yuling and Li Xiaoxia helping China to a 3-0 win over Spain. China's men's team will next play Austria, while the women's team will play Chinese Taipei later today in the final round of the group stages. In golf, the world's top female golfers are now gathering in Singapore for the Women's Champions Tournament. The event is only open to the world's top 20 players, along with LPGA tournament winners last year and this year. Among those taking part in current world number 11, Feng Shanshan. The Guangzhou native says she hopes this event will be like the one in Singapore, as well as golf's inclusion this year in the Olympics, will help create more interest in the sport in China.
And I would say, you know, golf in China now is not that popular yet, but I think if, you know, any, the four Chinese players, like two men and two women, if we, any of us can get a medal, and then to get on the TV, I think it's going to help golf to grow in China.
The 26-year-old Feng Shanshan is the only Chinese player to win one of the golf's majors. She slipped in the world rankings so far this year down to 11th after skipping the first few tournaments of the season. Feng Shanshan finished last year ranked 6th in the world. The Women's Champions Tournament in Singapore will be open tomorrow. Ricardo Goulart's double in the first half helped Guangzhou Evergrande defeat Jiangsu Suning 2-0 for their second Super Cup. Both goals were assisted by Huang Bowen. It was the most expensive clash in Super Cup history. The teams have upgraded to a combined 1.3 billion yuan worth of players after the winter's transfer window. The star-studded field has Su Ming's Ramirez, global record signing Alex Teixeira and Evergrande's Jackson Martinez all playing at the same time. It raised the curtain for the new football season in China. And the Chinese Super League will begin soon. Evergrande have flown straight to Sydney for their second group game in the EFC Champions League, where they have the title to defend. In boxing, it's been announced British boxer Amir Khan and WBC middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez are due to battle on May 7th in Las Vegas. The 29-year-old Khan says he will be well prepared for the fight.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've had five good wins. I'm ready for this fight. I mean, look, people can say what they want. Alvarez is a dangerous guy, and I'm not one guy to take this fight lightly. I'm going to train very hard for this fight because, you know, any little mistake I make, he's gonna pick up on it. So I just have to stay focused and can't make any mistakes, and I'm going to win this fight, you know what I mean?
Olympic silver medalist Canelo Alvarez has to jump up two weight classes to fight Alvarez in the middleweight bout. The hard-hitting Mexican will be looking to add a 47th win to his stats. And that's all for sport. Let's move on to entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel and I will bring you a terrific show tonight. As the tallest member of the National Committee of Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, the basketball legend Yao Ming has been high profile during this year's conferences. And this time is no exception. During National Committee of the CPPCC this year, he was found to have been wearing the same gray coat through the past 3 years' conferences. On hearing this, you may not need to complain you're being not tall enough anymore, because it seems rather difficult to find suitable clothes for a giant. It's all happened so fast. On March 5th, the 84-year-old media tycoon Rupert Murdoch came to the fourth marriage in his life. The wedding was held in St. Brad Church, and it attracted much attention not only because it was for Murdoch and the world supermodel Jerry Hall, but also for the amusing fact that a group of bridesmaids was consist of Murdoch's 6 daughters, 4 from his 3 ex-wives and 2 from Hall herself. So you see, sometimes having loads of daughters may as well come in handy someday. Nowadays, more and more employees choose to ask for leave in order to do some traveling. However, recently when a woman in Chengdu did so, she ended up being fired by her company. You want to know why? The reason is after asking for a sick leave, she kept showing off her traveling picture on WeChat Moments. That's just another no zuo no dai thing. Don't you think so? On March the 3rd in Wuhan, a lot of visitors were shocked at the sight of Boeing 737 plane landing in front of the German-style Avenue Square in Optic Valley. However, this was neither an air crash nor an escape drill. Instead, the huge plane was planned to sit there waiting to be transformed into both simulator, cockpit, and an airplane-themed restaurant. So next time when you knock into such a huge stuff, think it over before screaming out loud. Recently, some of the subway trains in Seoul in Korea had undergone some great changes. Even subway car is now decorated in styles of different countries, such as Japan, Australia, Czech, and so on. This certainly offered all the passengers exotic feeling during their rides. And it seems that besides Blue House, Korea has more unexpected places that are worth traveling. As spring comes, rape flowers in Sichuan province begin to blossom, and the annual Rape Flower Festival is now undergoing. And when it comes to the festival this year, some flowers field attract huge amounts of visitors for the farmer creatively made patterns of minions and Doraemon out of flowers in field. Is it interesting, right? Then what about making a huge pattern of your face? Recently in Australia, a bull has just gone through a painful laparotomy. Guess what? It swallowed a huge teddy bear out of hunger. And after the operation, the poor snake had to stay in the veterinary hospital for another 2 weeks. So if the silly snake taught us something, it's that please be even a little bit choosy, even if you're hungry to death. Can you imagine a book that is as small as a poppy seed? Recently, a Russian artist, Anis King, has managed to make such a tiny book. You're sure to be amazed at the size of its pages. For the length, it's about 90 micrometers, and for the width, it's only 70 micrometers. So in order to turn the pages, you have to use a needle instead of your fingers. It's quite difficult to imagine what can be printed on such a book other than letters of an alphabet. NPC and CPPCC are around the corner. What are the 2016 two sessions like from foreign media's perspective? Our commentator Yan Bingxuan will present you an overview of media report on two sessions.
Okay, thank you, Meng Yuan. The two sessions are surely the hottest topic recently in China. This year, the New China TV made a brief introductory video about the two sessions.
China's two sessions serve as the best window through which to observe China's legislative and advisory process. The annual session of the top national advisory body opens on Thursday, while the annual meeting of the top legislative body begins on Saturday. The sessions, attended by about 3,000 Chinese lawmakers and 2,000 political advisors from all walks of life, cover a number of issues, ranging from economic reform and military spending to foreign policy and this year's main targets.
And what are the 2016 two sessions like from foreign media's perspective? First of all, let's take a look at BBC. Mostly, it reports from economic perspectives and report economic policy changes from the two sessions. On BBC News, there is an article about why two sessions is important. It says that it's an opportunity to gauge what Chinese leaders may be thinking about the economy and whether they're as committed to reform as they have said they are. The article said that we're all affected in some shape or form by what goes on in the world's second largest economies, so keeping abreast of what happens there is important. BBC also said, especially in a year when the Communist Party is trying to assure its citizens and the world that is in control of its economic destiny. Several things that BBC journalists focus on is the 13th five-year plan, the economic growth target, the zombie firms, and the stimulus measures. An interesting thing that BBC report is that delegates attending China's major annual political meetings, which is two sessions, have been warned that selfie sticks are no longer allowed because last year the selfie stick was such a hot thing that all the delegates had one, so BBC focused on that as well. So let's take a look in America while CNN's journalist goes behind the scenes at the two sessions.
Behind these imposing pillars of the Great Hall of the People here in Beijing, the economic supremo of this country, Li Keqiang, is giving his address on his vision for China's economic future for this year and for the next 5 years. So let's start with the numbers. The target for growth in 2016 is going to be between 6.5% and 7%. This gives the Chinese government a bit more flexibility than usual. Last year, it came in at 6.9%. But Premier Li is also talking about the future. The next five-year plan will growth will come in at least 6.5% if it's to achieve the goal of a moderately prosperous economy. That is what the party is aiming to achieve by 2020. How are they going to do it? A lot of it will be driven by technology in industry, by innovation. 50 million new jobs will be created over the next 5 years, 10 million this year. It all sounds good in the headlines, but there are real obstacles to achieving these targets. Reform of many industries in China is only just beginning. Millions of people face layoffs. The debt mountain continues to grow and grow here in China. And many economists say the actual real level of growth is nowhere near 6.9%. It's closer to 4%. These are the issues that China faces. And in a slowing global economy, it makes it ever more difficult to get the results that Premier Li says he can deliver. Andrew Stevens, CNN, Beijing.
What's more interesting is self-media is booming, and some of them have made videos about two sessions. One was particularly creative, made by a British tourist in Beijing named Jory Fountain. He explained the meaning of two sessions in an easy and interesting way, drawing more attention from the foreigners.
Hi, can you cook? If so, you'll know that a key to a successful meal is making the right decisions. Whether it's the timings, temperature, or which seasonings to add, it's all important. Ancient Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu once said that governing a large country is like cooking a small fish. And this has been quoted by President Xi Jinping as one of his governing concepts. It is a complex task, making decisions for China. But it is crucial that it is done correctly, as the outcomes will not only affect this country, but also the rest of the world. So who are the people helping to make these decisions?
Other than Western media, is there any focuses on two sessions from the rest of the world? Where surely there is, from the Middle East. Al Jazeera said that two sessions serves as a rubber stamp to annual budget to government reform. It says China's take on parliamentary democracy has kicked off its annual session to address national priorities at a time of slowing economic growth. So now let's go back to China. While the Xinhua Net not only focused on economy, but also give an overview of the structural reform, agricultural modernization, and so on. It believes that China's economy is going through a series of historical transitions, and recent short-term market volatility will prove temporary. Experts attending the World Economic Forum annual meeting 2016 here said on Tuesday, the Chinese government is implementing wrenching reforms, trying to shift its growth driven from investment and manufacturing to service and consumption. Experts warned that the uncertainty during the process will lead to periodic market disruptions. That's all for today's commentary. See you next week.
Thank you, Bingxuan. Here is the living tip. CET4 and CET6 registration will start this Tuesday. Students who want to sign up need to pay more attention to it. These are the selected news brought you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focuses on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Fu Mengyuan, see you.
And I'm Feng Guorui, see you.
更多节目，下载荔枝 FM 收听。